The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Welcome to Radioactive Metal. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Kareen, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to and the nominees are episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 773, and I'm Snowy White.
This is Aaron, and dear listeners, I know you're listening to. I mean, fuck. This episode is brought to you by the fine folks at True Cult Coffee. What the hell is my problem today, Snowy?
It's Monday,
oh,
man.
My goodness. This has been a hell of a Monday. TRVEKVLTCoffee.com. We talk about them every week. You know it's the hottest, blackest, most metal coffee, unless today's your first episode, in which case, welcome, dear listeners, and you should go get yourself a cup of True Cult Coffee. But you know that there's no other coffee like this. You know that this is not a coffee conglomerate. This is a dude who's just like, I love coffee. I love good coffee. Let's bring this good coffee to the masses. Taking care of his family, doing all kinds of cool stuff. It's just cool stuff, man. So, You know, Valentine's Day is almost upon us. Actually, it will be this week. I haven't seen a single True Cult Coffee Valentine's Day thing yet.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
It's got to be coming.
Yeah, this because he's just as twisted as we are. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So you would think for Valentine's Day, he would have something is up his sleeve. So he's got a couple more days as we speak. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm looking for it. Dude, damn it. Well, I was going to get you... Oh. Okay, no. There's a mug that you need to get. And honestly, what's his name? Which Coffee Bean calls it True Cult Coffee should make this. I saw it and I meant to send it to you the other day to get for Mrs. Snowy for Valentine's Day. Because it says, you're hotter than this cup of coffee or something like that.
Ah, excellent.
And yeah, it just looks like that. The kind of joke you would make because I read all your Facebook comments that are freaking hilarious.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, so True Cult Coffee, TRVEKVLTCoffee.com. Possess yourself a cup today. What's going on, Snowman?
Once again, as we said, yeah, it has been a Monday. I got a big ass cup of True Cult Coffee going here in my welcome, my oversized Camp Crystal Lake mug, which, you know, I've said before, I got way too many of these, or someone might say I do. I personally don't. And I needed a big ass one because, like I said, it's Monday today as we're speaking. It has been a day. I'm sore. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm in desperate need of a shower. But you know what? I don't mind because when we sit down, we press record and we start hanging out with all these beautiful people listening to this, we turn that negative into positive. Speaking of positive, as you heard, or as you didn't hear, no dedications. That's really good.
That's always good because we're only in February. We don't need to be killing everybody off yet.
That's right. That's right. I don't really have the only thing in terms of radioactive metal house cleaning will get to, you know what? Actually, right now, because for the good folks at A True Cavalt Coffee, let's drop a track now for our mandatory metal segment. This month, okay, it represents the anniversary. I don't know the date, but sometime this month is the 37th anniversary of Slaughter's Strapado. That awesome.
No way.
Yeah. That fantastic record that we've gone on and on about over the years on this show, just because it's one of the original death metals, and it had it influenced the Entombed sound. This is your, what's that called?
Swedish death metal.
Yeah, no, with the
HM2, the Boss HM2,
HM2 pedal. Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
Sleeping on the job today.
Yeah, me too. Me too. So yeah, just an amazing record, so influential, and happy birthday to Strapado. So let's get into a track with that for the good folks at A True Cavalt Coffee. This is Slaughter with Nocturnal Hell.
We'll be right back.
been very busy this week. Here's our metal fix.
Hey, man, what's going on?
All right, so check this out. Let's see here. Okay, I have some very surprising news, but we'll get into that here in a moment.
Okay.
First, we are going to talk briefly, because I haven't talked about it on air, and I've been meaning to mention it. But we have an upcoming topic that we're going to start talking about. So if you guys want to hit us up on Facebook, give us suggestions, things you'd like to hear us mention as a part of this. I was listening recently to Eve of Destruction and Ape Man. Two songs still ring true. And Eve of Destruction in particular, because my kids were talking about things that were banned and stuff like that. I said, well, something that, just because it's banned doesn't mean it's going to have like a swear word in it. And I put on Eve of Destruction and they're listening and they're like, okay, well, when was this written? I'm like, in the 60s. They're like, but this sounds like it could be happening now. I'm like, yes. And I said the same thing to my dad when I heard the song in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this sounds like it's happening right now, Dad. He's like, yeah. You know, so for 60 years, we have been on the eve of destruction, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. And then I also made them watch the Land of Confusion video, you know, where they had like the Ronnie puppets for Genesis.
Oh, okay, right.
Well, and because everybody, you know, made so much fun of Ronnie, but I'm like, Biden is the president everybody said Ronnie was. Right? Like he really is. Like, dude, no joke. There was like on a legit news site, had a picture of Kamala Harris saying that, well, I am ready to take over, you know, if needed, because everybody's been talking about Joe's age lately.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then I made the joke, and I'm sure you're going to get this one. I'm like, I've seen Showgirls. And that means she's going to push him down a set of stairs.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, I'm like, oh, foul play afoot here. But anyway, I digress, because that got me thinking about, like, what are other songs that have been banned? Right. And so that's what we're going to talk about here. You know, Sarah and I were talking off air about the Filthy 15. Because obviously for this show, that's a great place to start, right? Because that was the heart of the PMRC and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. But I want to talk about songs over the years that have been banned and why. Because there's nothing offensive about Eve of Destruction other than it holds a mirror up to your face, you know?
Right.
And then not banned, but the song Ape Man. Everybody needs to go and give that a track, because it's a super fun song. It has like an island calypso feel almost, but the lyrics are about this guy who just gets sick of the overpopulation, disease, and starvation, and wants to, you know, and he's afraid of nuclear war, and he just wants to go live on a remote island somewhere away from everybody. And again, happening right now. Like, it's so funny. Like, I listen to Ape Man, I'm like, yeah. Yeah, that's the life. That'd be great. I need a generator for my guitars, but yeah, that'd be great. You know? So, all right. It is no secret I am not a fan of Rush. I'm pretty sure last episode I mentioned the fact that I don't like Rush. No, not last episode, two episodes ago, but
yeah,
it's been pretty
recent.
So, Paramount Plus, are you familiar with the streaming app?
Yeah, they're pissing me off, because I'm seeing a lot of good programming on their app, and I've already got a ton of other apps and some wrestling apps and all that, and we're just paying, and I just don't want to add another channel to our monthly bill. And
they got
a lot of good though. No, I don't
want
to.
They have a lot of good stuff.
Uh-huh.
If I were you, I would curate, pick what you want to watch, pay for it for a month, and cancel it. Because that's what I'm doing right now. Because I'm in the same boat. We have too much stuff. But my family wanted to watch the Super Bowl yesterday. So I'm like, all right, I'll subscribe to Paramount Plus, because that's where it was. And we watched the game. And, you know, when I say we watched the game, I mean that while the game was on, we went and got all our snacks so we wouldn't miss commercials.
Okay.
You know, so before anybody thinks that all of a sudden this has turned into a sports household, no. Right? No. We're there for the real entertainment. But so I got Paramount Plus. I'm like, oh, well, I heard about this series that's on there. Right? So Sam Dunn and Banger Films,
of course,
together with Geddy Lee, put on a series that I believe is called Are Bass Players Human?
All right.
It's four episodes, and I will probably be watching it again because I blew through those four so fast. And I mean, that was just doing chores. Like, I put it on while I was like exercising, folding laundry, that kind of stuff, having my lunch today, and I blew through four episodes. In the first episode, he goes to visit Les Claypool. And it's like, holy shit, this is great. Because he shows up at Les's house. Les, of course, is a huge Rush fan, huge Geddy Lee fan. Like, you know, they're going all around Rancho Relaxo, and you get to see the Claypool Vineyards. You even get to go visit the people that are building Les's bases now.
Okay.
And the best is he walks into the vineyards, and he says, I've been dying to show you that. Check out my 20-foot wiener. And it's this big hot dog stand. It's a big 20-foot hot dog, you know, stand that's shaped like a hot dog.
Right.
And he's like, it's 20-foot wiener. So the two of them are just like a bunch of 14-year-olds, and they just keep making wiener jokes. Right. And like, Geddy turns to him, he's like, I think I have wiener envy right now. You know? But like, watching this, like, I think you and I have talked off air. I love hot dogs. I have a local hot dog shop that sees me minimum once a week. Some weeks, three, four times a week.
Yeah.
And like, Les is into gourmet hot dogs. I'm like, son of a bitch. Like I told my wife today, I'm like, I'm just a low rent Les Claypool, you know? But so he does Les. And then episode two, you know, like if episode one wasn't enough for me, episode two, guess whose house he goes to next?
Oh, I'm just going to... Joe Satriani.
And bass players, dude. Bass players.
Oh, okay. It's just... Michael Anthony.
He plays in Metallica.
Oh. Okay. That guy from Suicidal Tendencies.
Yes, that guy. Right? So he goes to Robert Trujillo's house.
Okay.
And this is where he really got me, right? Because, you know, Geddy's just, he's obviously really knowledgeable. He's talked about the fact that he's a big nerd and he collects, you know, bases and he photographs birds and all this stuff. Just really, the more I see these, I'm like, man, like I've always like loved like Les and Robert and that sort of stuff where they play. But then as you see him as people, I'm like, oh. Man, you guys are really cool. So, you know, Robert's been surfing. It's hilarious. They walk into Robert's studio and he's got the laptop up. You know, it looks like he's recording. And I think, I don't know how it came up, but Geddy's like something like, oh, what's on the laptop? And Robert looks at me and goes, that's the surf report. And Geddy's like, ah, just a different type of waves. It's good. So they go down the beach. We're talking about surfing. And this is where I lost it, right? Because what a great sense of humor on this dude. But he's like, hey, he's like, you know, Robert talked me into surfing. So they cut and they have this thing that looks like they're surfing. And then they pull back and they're doing it like a Gidget movie where they're spraying water on them and they're standing on the ground. Dude, it's so funny.
I need to see Geddy Lee's like real life, real time surfing.
Well, like they didn't do that.
On the waves. I need to see that.
Yeah, well, I seriously thought he was going to do it because it sounded like he was truly going to paddle out, you know.
Okay.
But he didn't. But it was so cool. And they go around Robert's community and all this sort of stuff. And then, of course, in every episode, the two of them sit down and play together. And, you know, Robert hands Geddy Jocko's bass. This means nothing to anybody other than me on this show.
Okay.
We have talked about this on the show before. My buddy John from college probably knows what I'm talking about with Jaco Pastorius. But so Jaco Pastorius, pioneering jazz fusion bass player, right? Arguably was like the first electric bass virtuoso. You know, because there were so many amazing bass players, but he's one guy that almost everybody comes back to. And he was a big influence on Getty, big influence on Robert, big influence on Flea, you know, like all these guys, right? Like less like all of us at one point have listened to Jocko and been like, fuck, you know. So we talked about it on the show, but Robert has Jocko's bass because he helped get it back. And he hands it to Getty, and Getty's like, well, I'm not gonna play any Jocko, I can't. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, you are arguably one of the top bass players in the world. You know, like
Right.
you could absolutely do it if you put the work in. I think what the proper term there should have been, I don't know any Jocko off the top of my head.
Yeah, that's okay.
You know, because there's no way you couldn't play it. But it's funny because Jocko is kind of like Mike Portnoy, the dude from Dream Theater.
Right.
Do you remember the kid he used to have called, what do you call it? He called it the two-headed monster, where it was basically like two drum kits and it'd be set up so he could switch back and forth. But he would invite drummers up, and really, really great drummers wouldn't go up like to play with him, right? Because they'd be like, oh, come on, let's do something together. Because it's this massive kit. But one of the few that did, Charlie Benante, you know, because Charlie could fucking handle it. But like it's funny because like Jocko's one of those things where, you know, I mean, I'm still working on Jocko riffs. Like Birdland is still one of my favorites. But it's funny to me because some bass players like, oh yeah, I can do this. Others take so much time. Then there's a dude like Flea, who he's on tour, 3 a.m. in a hotel room, sitting down with his jazz bass, is just dicking around playing Jocko and sends it out to all of us. And you can tell it's not like he's rehearsed it 1,000 times, you know. But you can also tell he doesn't suck too. You know, it's like, man, you know. So anyway, I'm geeking out over this. The remaining two bass players are Melissa Auf from Hole and Smashing Pumpkins, and then Chris Novoselic of Nirvana.
Nice.
Dude, it's so much fun. When the fourth episode ended, and I realized there wasn't any more, I'm like, what the fuck? Come on. Yeah, at least give me six. What's going on? I was
When
so mad.
you just haven't had your fill of a show,
Yeah.
you know, and like that's it. You're like, no, like what are you talking
Dude, that was
about?
exactly it. I'm like, son of a bitch, come on. Because these episodes were so great. Because, I mean, and the formula is like they go to the house, they talk to him, they meet, and then they sit down and play bass together. How fucking cool is that?
It
Right?
is. It is.
It's
Yeah.
so great. And then so here I am at watching this movie, text my buddy John from Iron City Rocks, and I'm like, dude, I'm finally watching this. This is like the greatest thing ever. And you know, he was talking about it. He's like, yeah, Les Claypool. He's like, I just can't get into him. I've tried. I said, dude, that's totally me and Rushing Geddy Lee. I understand.
Yeah,
And you know, and I mean, it's no secret. Like I talk all the time. Like I don't like Rush. I'm not gonna get it. Like, but as a person, I think he's the greatest person in the world. And I'm like, damn it. I'm like, why don't I like him? I should like him.
Well, you can't like what have I said?
You can't like
On TV,
everybody,
you can't, yeah, you can't
but
listen to
I
everyone.
should. That's the crazy thing. I'm like, why don't I get this? So I put
Because
out a
yeah,
call today.
you're right. Oh, sorry. Yeah, because you're a bassist. You know, Getty's a bassist. Like you guys probably in real life, like if you guys were to meet and just hang out in a bar or
Oh
whatever,
my goodness, it'd be so much fun.
you guys would be great friends.
Because he's
You
also a
know?
wine connoisseur, which I've been trying to get into wine.
Oh,
And you
okay.
know how much fun it'd be to sit with Geddy Lee, a bass and a bottle of wine. I like that's that's wow, bucket list moment right there. I'd be like, that'd be a great time. You know, and like I said, I'm not even a fan. You know, and I tell him that I'm like, listen, I've tried. I just can't do it. I don't know why. You know, but so I put out a call today. Like I started pinging people. I'm like, okay. I'm like, give me something that's not like, you know, what everybody's going to talk about. So a friend of a friend of a friend basically suggested Moving Pictures. And I looked at it, I'm like, yeah, but I know these. Like these are the hits, like Tom Sawyer. So I put it on. What a great fucking album. And
Yeah.
well, yeah, but here's the thing, because like I knew the hits, I'm like, okay, whatever. But then like stuff like, hang on, what's the last track? Is it Camera? No, I'm gonna butcher this. Hold on, hold on. I have a
Yeah,
great radio. I should have had it
you
ready.
gotta pull it up. We don't have anything ready on the show.
Let's see here. So Tom Sawyer is the opener. Okay, The Camera Eye, track five.
Okay.
I heard that. I'm like, this song here. Because I knew the first three. I knew Tom Sawyer, Red Barchetta, and YYZ. You know? And but the funny thing is I knew YYZ because of Primus. And I think it was either on The Camera Eye or on Vital Signs. No, I think it was on The Camera Eye. Right at the end, they're fading out, and I'm listening to him play, and I would have sworn it was Les Claypool.
Ah,
And I'm like,
okay.
well, wait a second. What's going on here? And that's when I started realizing, I'm like, oh, Geddy Lee probably is my favorite bass player because, like, Les Claypool essentially just completely lifted that lick, that style. Like, Les really leans into it. And even when the two of them were sitting down playing, you know, I'm listening to Geddy play Les's bass. And typically, when you hear somebody play, you know, anybody's instrument, it always sounds like them, never sounds like the person who they're using. Except for that time, I'm like, why does he sound more like Les Claypool here? That's weird. And then I heard this track, I'm like, oh, it's because Les sounds like Geddy. And
Ah.
I never knew that. And so I cannot believe I'm going to say this, right? But have we done a Rush episode? I knew we did something when Neil Peart passed.
One, yeah, but I don't know if we have, if we've ever done a spotlight episode.
Well, maybe we should even just pick an album like we did for, oh man, what album did we just do?
We
Venom.
just did Venom's
Yeah.
Welcome to Hell.
Maybe we should pick an album like, you know, Moving Pictures. I could give it another listen since it's only been one time through. Or another critically acclaimed record. Or honestly, I mean, you're the good Canadian boy. You know, I'm the ugly American. I'm only getting the radio hits. Like what's the secret Canadian Rush playlist, you know?
Right.
I'm sure Rush albums in Canada come with tracks we can't get in the States, right?
Not that I know of. You got to remember though, because Rush is massive in the States too. Like they always have been. It's not like one of these bands like an April Wine or a Tragically Hip or a Coney Hatch or Helix, Killer Dwarfs. Do those names mean anything to you?
All of those names mean something to me, except
Oh,
for like Coney
okay.
Hatch. But Helix and
All
Killer
right.
Dwarfs, I'm like, yeah, I know them.
Oh, okay. Just yeah, you're right. Yeah, because Helix got their big break supporting Maiden
Yeah.
back in 83, 84, and Killer Dwarfs are, yeah, they make the rounds. But yeah, there's a lot of Canadian bands that are Canadian Rock and Roll Hall of Famers in Canada, and then when they tour in the US, like 20 people show up. And then they're disturbed by the band interrupting their conversation because, like that's just what it can be like. Rush is not that band. Rush is over big time in the US as well. So,
Well, that's just it. They are huge, right? And I was joking with Caddick today. I'm like, oh, so Rush is kind of like three-fifths of Maiden. You know? It just, and I can't remember why I made the Maiden comparison. But I mean, like,
Yeah, I'm thinking about that myself. It's like, what is this guy talking about?
well,
What
it's
is
because
he
they're both massive bands with massive cult followings.
Oh, okay.
You know,
Yeah.
and like John was talking about how at a Rush concert, people will sing along to YYZ.
Okay.
I'm letting that sit in because it's an instrumental, right? And so like people are singing along to the instrumental. Well, same thing happens in Maiden shows. Like there's instrumental portions that people sing along with, you know? And so because they like it so much. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I feel like I'm starting to get this, but I really, but I still want to believe that there are secret Canadian albums that only, you know, have Canadian tracks. You only get it if you're Canadian.
I'll look into that.
Well, but I mean, like, you know, you see Geddy Lee, he's so polite. He wouldn't do that to anybody. He'd try, but no, he
true couldn't. Enough.
But
no, no.
This guy is such a great nerd. Oh my goodness. We are so two birds of a feather. He's collecting a Fender Jazz Bass from every year because he wants to see the evolution or de-evolution in the instrument. And I'm like, well, yeah, like I get that. Like I totally get
Sorry.
That, dude.
Right on.
You know, so anyway, we need to pick an album. I think we should do a Rush album episode. Like at least an album that I need to get back into because I really want to get it. And I got to say, like Camera Eye, like that was the track. Because I mean, like I knew so many of these, you know, mm-hmm. And I mean, you can't help but like Tom Sawyer.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Like, it's one of the greatest songs ever written.
It really is. It really, really is.
It okay, really well, yeah. You let me know when you want to do that. And as a matter of fact, I have a guy in mind to maybe feel if his schedule
is Mark! Close.
Yes.
Oh, that's a great idea.
We'll bring Radioactive Metal's Rush aficionado, Mr. Mark Buell, on again.
That's what I need. I need somebody who's that into Rush. Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. No, thank you. There we go.
Right on.
There
right
we
on.
Go. Yeah. So you know what? Reach out to him. Have him pick the record.
Okay.
Have him pick the record. Let me know. We'll listen to it and work around his schedule. And then let's do it.
Right on.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Sounds good. When you were talking about how Rush was 3/5 of Maiden and yeah. all that got me thinking, like, how about a bass off? Steve Harris versus Geddy Lee. Like a jam off or something.
Oh, that'd be so much fun.
That would be awesome.
That'd be
absolutely fantastic.
Now you've got me like, what would like my ultimate bass concert be? And it would probably be like, and I can't even believe I'm saying Geddy right now, but it would be Geddy, Steve Harris, Les Claypool, Robert Trujillo. Let's see here. What's like? I feel like I need one more. Flea. We put Flea in there. That would be the most insane, like, pool of talent. And we'd have to have, like, Charlie Benante on the drums because they're going to need a badass drummer. Or Tim from Primus. Somebody that can keep up with that kind of load.
Right.
But, yeah. Yeah. No, it's pretty amazing.
Right on. Well, there's another subject as well for future, you know, especially with WrestleMania coming up. You know, in this corner, you got Steve Harris, and in this corner, you got Geddy Lee. And then, I don't know, we can do that with all the instruments. Which instrumental off do we want to see? Something to think about it. Get it going through your little brain there.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. Okay. What else you got?
That's everything, man.
All right. More. Aaron's doling out the rock and roll education here again. I love it. I love it. For myself, I don't got much in the way of a metal fix this week, but I did pick up some cool stuff when me and the Brood were out and about on Saturday. You're familiar with the original Blade Runner movie, right? Do you
Yeah.
remember that? Okay. Amazing music, Vangelis. Okay, he's got just some fantastic scores on the album and like on the soundtrack to that, and especially the opening and closing tracks and all that. It's just beautiful pieces of music. Okay, I never really picked up the soundtrack until today. I found a 2014 CD re-release of the original Blade Runner soundtrack, and it's like, yeah, I really want it on vinyl, to go along with, I got Star Wars and I got Raiders of the Lost Ark, Jaws, all these fantastic soundtracks, and I'm getting them all on vinyl. Ah, but you know what? I got the CD in my hand. Let's grab the CD now. When I find a vinyl, I'll scoop it up and, we've all done that before. All vinyl aficionados have, well, I got this on cassette. I got this on CD. Ah, you know what? I'm gonna shell out for the vinyl. I've done it. I know. Yeah, I'm sure you've done it, and
Oh yeah,
we
dude.
will continue to.
I told you I
Yeah,
have now
why?
purchased Live After Death twice.
Yeah, I can say that too. I've got the cassette from way back in the day, and I just a couple of weeks ago grabbed the vinyl finally after all these
Yeah, but I bought
years.
the vinyl twice because I'm that much of a weirdo.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's definitely maybe there's a discussion, an album that we've bought twice, three times maybe. Because we've all done it and we can all relate. I'll throw it out on the social medias and have other people contribute. Holy geez. Here we are, we're doing a show and we're booking well in advance already. This is fantastic. As a big shout out to the good folks at Galaxy Comics. It's always good to see them every Saturday. As you walk into the store, okay, right away you see their display of comic boxes to store your comics
Oh,
in,
yeah.
and they've always got some wicked designs on it, superhero designs from Marvel and DC and all that. When I walked in just on the weekend, the first box I saw was a brand new Spider-Punk
Oh, no way.
box. I didn't even hesitate. It's just yoink, mine. My daughter just looked at me. Yeah, I was gonna say, here, Dad, but yeah, no, I beat you to it. I beat you to it. So yeah, I think, and it's a real cool design. If you're not familiar with Spider-Punk, it's basically a new version of Spider-Man, different character under the mask. And he's got a punk look about him and a punk philosophy. And he was actually in the last Across the Spider-Verse, the last
Yeah.
animated Spider-Man, he made an appearance. I talked about it on the show.
That better come out
And
in a new
man,
one this year.
yeah,
I hated that
man,
cliffhanger,
I
dude.
well, that's the idea. That's definitely the idea, because that was like, okay, they're just, as that movie's winding down, I don't want to spoil, well, it's been around for a while now, so, but it's like, okay, the movie's almost over, okay, it's been two
Right.
and a half hours or whatever, and now you're just getting into this,
Right.
like, how long is this movie? And then you go, oh, right, cliffhanger, duh. Yeah. And when I saw Spider-Punk in that movie, like, I marked out right there in the theater. Just, yeah. Right on. He's actually, of course, obviously, that's my favorite version of Spider-Man now, followed by the Andrew Garfield from the Amazing Spider-Man movies, that iteration of Peter Parker. Because
Yes.
here's he,
Dude, I
yeah,
am
because.
so glad to hear you say that. That is my favorite version too.
Right. Because here's a Peter Parker, and I've had some people say, "Well, all the reasons you like Peter Parker is the reasons he's not a good Peter Parker." Well, okay, it's a different version, it's a different iteration, and all that. And Andrew Garfield, he skateboards, listens to the Ramones. This is my Peter Parker,
Yeah, but see, I think he is more Peter Parker than whoever the guy was that was the first one. Was that Tobey Maguire?
Tobey Maguire,
Yeah.
yeah.
And then who's the most recent? What's his name?
Tom
Tom
Hall.
Holland.
Tom Holland,
So
yeah.
Tom Holland's been great, right? He really has been great. But I'm with you, dude. And the Andrew Garfield iteration is my favorite. I think He's got the smart ass part down. He's got the science part down. And when you look at the end of that second movie, like he understands the Spider-Man character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh yeah, I'm 100% with you on that, dude.
Yeah. When he ended up saving MJ in the movie, like in the latest Spider-Man, when he ended up saving her from falling, the theater erupted.
Oh yeah.
Because of how, Gwen Stacy, he wasn't able to rescue her.
Yeah.
And now he's back in that same situation. And now MJ, is falling and he saves her. And it's just like, and I'm kind of thinking, okay, they're not killing this MJ off. But still, man, that sequence had me. Edge of my seat.
It's fantastic. It's so fantastic.
Yeah. So, yeah, my Spider-Punk box, it's going to, right now, all of my music-type comics, right, are all sharing a box with another sub-genre. Now I think I'm going to move all my music comics into that one. I think that works.
Rock on, dude.
Yeah, let's get into some tunage here. Good friend of the show, Mr. Matt Harvey, he of Exhumed fame, as well as like 1,800 other bands, and he's definitely been an alum that we've had on probably the most. I remember it's an ongoing gag between him and grindcore drummer Mr. Corey Thomas, who I work with, with Ninja Cat Production. They had an ongoing, like when we were doing the interview, the interview show, they had an ongoing rivalry about who could be on the show the most, and they were neck and neck quite a while there. Well, Mr. Harvey recently dropped a new EP, Toward the Cold Light. Now, of course, Mr. Harvey, brutal death metal, that's what he's all about. But he's definitely, on his solo stuff, he's shown a different side. You'll remember a couple of years ago, he did that, the last Son of Krypton, quote-unquote, soundtrack.
Yeah.
Where he composed all these songs for a fictional Superman movie. Well, he's kind of got the same idea going on here. He's got a 4-song EP, and it's all atmospheric, ambient type music. It's definitely something different than what you would probably expect from him. We'll get into a track from that right away. As well, a new single from the Mighty Hyrax recently dropped their... Little later on, I guess. I don't remember the exact release date, but soon enough, their new Faster Than Death album will be available, and they've dropped the first single, Drill in the Brain. And we love Hyrax on the show. We haven't had Mr. Caton DePina on the show yet. Okay, and just for one reason or another, I have no idea why, but I remember during the days at the War on Music shop and doing what I can with the label and all that, the War on Music label released the first two Hyrax albums. And so every once in a while, Caton would call the shop, wanting a question about the records and all that. And then later on, I hit him up on Facebook and all that. And we like to go back and forth together. So when he announced, hey, new single, new record, I'm like, dude, this is awesome. We're going to, we'll definitely be all over that. So let's get into it right now. As I said, this is the Mighty Hyrax with a drill in the brain.
Does your tape collection look like this? Then you need a KTEL tape selector. With special attachments, it fits conveniently in your car, stores all your tapes neatly, ready for easy selection. Tilt the first tape forward. The others follow automatically. Take your selection when it appears. When replacing tapes, tape selector automatically finds the proper place. In your home or in your car, protect your valuable tapes with Tape Selector, $4.99 from KTEL.
Let's go back a bit ways. I believe that was the 1986 album, Warriors of Rock. That was, well, Blade Runner. They were one of those bands, okay, they had that new wave of British heavy metal influence, as you just heard in the in that, but they just, I don't know, they're just one of those bands that just didn't get that breakthrough that they probably deserved. And obviously, okay, their debut record was 1984, 2 years after the Blade Runner movie came out. It's a safe bet that's where they got their moniker, and that's fine. I'm, you know, let's see more bands, and like, let's, you know, with the, I haven't seen the Blade Runner 2049 or whatever. I haven't seen that one yet, but you know, the original will always be a will always be an old favorite of mine. And before that, that was the title track from Mr. Matt Harvey's new solo EP, Toward the Cold Light. Great stuff, great stuff. Now, how's that, dude? Okay. So we got a brutal new thrash song, an ambient type music, and then topped off with some good old school 80s traditional metal and all that. That's how we roll here on Radioactive Metal. Great stuff. Great stuff. Well, my friend, this week, okay, kind of had some rumblings, some things going on, and probably the thing on most people's minds was the new Hall of Fame nominees. Every time, every year around this time, they get announced, and it always gets people's, you know, it's either, okay, I can really get behind this list, or everyone's got their tits in an uproar about it. Okay, and yes. Yeah, going through this list, did you have the list pulled up?
I do have it up. Let's talk for a second. So last year, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony was streamed on Disney Plus, and I watched it. And I still like, you know, talking about what a badass Willie Nelson is at 90 on that guitar.
Yeah. Holy jeez.
And that's the thing is, like, I kind of want to frame this up is, like, Willie Nelson has had a countless impact and influence over all of music and pop culture. And I mean, you know, just as a person, as an icon, as a songwriter, you know, because he's one of those dudes like Bob Dylan that wrote a shitload of songs you didn't realize were his, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think Dolly Parton's another one of those, right? Like that's one. Was she inducted or did she decline? I can't remember.
So, yeah, didn't she say no thanks because she thinks of herself as a country singer more than anything else?
I thought she did, but now I can't remember. Nope, she was inducted. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she was. Okay. All right. Well, that's good. But, I mean, you know, she's pretty much a badass. So, this year, here's the list. I'll just read down it real quick. Mary J. Blige. Mariah Carey. Right?
Okay.
And I would think that most of America doesn't want her in it just because of her Christmas song. Right? Cher. Dave Matthews Band. Eric B. and Rakim.
Okay.
I don't know who they are.
It's a rap duo.
Is
better,
it really?
Better than most. Yeah. Better than most, not as good as some.
Huh. I've never, do they have like a hit?
Not Not that I could tell.
All right. I need to do some research.
That I could tell you. Yeah. Like we all knew, we just never told you.
Well, that's how a lot of stuff seems to go on this show. Anyway, so Peter Frampton.
Yeah.
Jane's Addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Cool in the Gang. Now that one I can celebrate.
Right.
Lenny Kravitz.
Mm-hmm.
Oasis. Mm-hmm. Sinead O'Connor, yeah. Ozzy Osbourne, Sade,
yeah,
and then
Sade.
Oh shit! I'm sorry.
I can't believe I know that. You know?
Well, considering how many names you butcher on this show, like it's yeah. good that you get one, uh-huh. right?
At least one, yeah.
I'm proud of you for being able to correct me for that one. A Tribe Called Quest.
Mm-hmm. And Foreigner.
So, oh no, I read them already. They're before Peter Frampton.
Oh, okay. Maybe I sorry, I just missed.
Or
it.
Maybe
right.
I read it but didn't say it out loud. That's happened too. Because mm-hmm. it was okay. right between
way,
the
either
team.
Way.
So yeah. there's not a lot here that are making me go like, oh yes, about time. I mean, Ozzy, sure. You know,
right.
Because, I mean, Ozzy has had an amazing career, you know, with Black Sabbath and then on his own, you know. And I would say more people know his work because of his solo work than Black Sabbath at this point.
Than with Sabbath, yeah. But yeah. you could also make the argument that Ozzy was a quarter contributor to the creation of heavy metal.
Oh,
and if you don't 100%. Like metal... Just think of it as he helped create an entire subgenre, you know, or an entire genre, I should say. So yeah, if you like him, you can't argue the guy's impact and influence.
Yeah, 100%. All right. So speaking of Ozzy, did you see what was going on with Kanye West?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh so, my God!
So Kanye, real quick, for the listeners, the recap.
Okay. Right.
Kanye West wanted to use a Black Sabbath song. They said no because of his anti-Semitic comments, and he went and did it anyway. And so then Ozzy was posting on his Instagram and other socials and stuff about it. And I'm like, oh shit, really? Kanye still did that? Jeez, you know. But here's what I found funny. The Hard Times News makes a meme about it. Something that is not funny at all, they made hilarious to me. And yeah, here's the headline. Is well, first it has a picture of Ozzy and a picture of Kanye. And it says, old man who doesn't like rap songs somehow on right side of history. I just crack up every time. I'm like, wow, that's really good. Like that's great writing, right? That's hilarious. You know, but you know, back to the matter at hand here. So
sorry. And Mr. Yeah. Kanye as well recently he released a photograph of him wearing a Burzum shirt.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, it's like, okay. Who wants to tell him, you know, like, okay, I understand. Okay. Like they're both ultra conservatives and all that. But does Mr. Kanye understand or not that Count What's His Face is a blatant racist? Okay. And because he's a fucking Nazi. Okay. Let's don't mince words about the asshole. So sorry, Kanye. But he doesn't like you because of the color of your skin. That's it. I could not believe that I saw this shirt on him. And it's like, okay, someone has to tell him, you know? So yeah, old Kanye, the guy's been more entertaining through bullshit like this than in any of his music, for me personally.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like some celebrities have just developed dementia and nobody's diagnosing it, you know,
with
the random stuff that happens, you know. But so of this list, who's your pick here?
Well, okay. First of all, every time, like, they have to change the name from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to the Music Hall of Fame or something.
Yeah,
because
it's probably about time.
You know, it started off as the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when everything kind of got, if it wasn't classical opera or country or, you know, all pop and all rock, you know, back in the 50s and 60s and all that. It all got lumped in to known as rock and roll. Okay. Well, now the Hall of Fame, you know, isn't just rock bands and rock and hard rock and metal and all that, as you would think going by the title.
Right.
Because every year a list comes out like this and you go on, you know, you go online and all that. And it's like, Mary J. Blige, Cher, these aren't fucking rock bands. Why are they, get them off the list. My life is ruined, you know, because Sade is a nominee, you know, for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't know if I'm going to be able to sleep tonight.
I don't think it's quite that bad.
I don't know, man. Every time these nominees, you know, the comment boards light up.
We can say that about everything. I mean, how many lives were ruined because they saw Taylor Swift on the Jumbotron last night?
Oh yeah.
And it's so funny because remember I told you I posted that on my Facebook and then everybody's like, oh, I can't get away from it. It's all through my feed. I'm like, okay, I think everybody needs to take a look at their feeds and just see how much shit they get that pisses them off. It's time to unsubscribe or hide some shit, people.
Yeah, yeah. You know, don't spend so much time in social media.
I
spend way too much time on it.
Well, but I mean, if it's something that's like causing you outrage and you feel a need to post some, you know, staggeringly relevant political comment on it, you know, and of course I say that with tongue in cheek, but it's just one of those things where it's like, really, like take a look at what's going on here. But yeah, I'm with you. So I mean, I looked at this list and nothing grabbed me right away, but I mean, as far as people that I'm going to vote for, right off the bat, Ozzy, right? Always.
Yes.
Ozzy. Ozzy has had such an influence, and the thing I love about Ozzy, and I mean, this is also Sharon, but you know, Ozzy dominates the 80s. The 90s come, she tries to get him on Lollapalooza and they're like, he's not relevant. She says, well, fuck you, and starts Ozfest, and now you've got another mammoth tour with and you have other options. You know, it's like, oh, okay, so now we've got Lollapalooza, we've got Warped Tour, we've got that. Like, there was a period of time where every summer there was going to be a great music festival near you, you know, at least here in the States. So Ozzy just keeps staying relevant somehow, you know.
Oh, yeah. He, and even he's still now, making kick-ass albums.
Well, that's just it, you know. And I mean, like, he's going to be one of those guys. I am so happy he's up for this now, and I really hope he gets in because I don't want him to be a posthumous entry.
Right.
You know, like all the Ramones were. You know, I was so thrilled when the Ramones got in, and I was so sad when the Ramones got in because they were all dead.
Yeah, Marky's the only one left.
Yeah, but I mean, like of the original four Ramones, they were all dead by the time they were dead.
Yeah, they're all gone, yeah.
You know, and it's one of those things where it's like, that would have meant so much to at least Joey. Johnny looked at it like a factory job, right? He's a weirdo. but Joey, like, he would have probably been seriously emotionally moved, you know? And I honestly think if Ozzy is inducted, you know, as a solo artist, he's going to be emotionally moved, you know, like because the crazy thing about Ozzy is, for all the stories, for all the ridiculous shit he's done over the years. At the end of the day, he's still just a fan of music.
Right.
You know, he's still a music fan. He's still just like, no, I love this. I get excited about this stuff, you know? So yeah, it's kind of cool. So my other major pick here is A Tribe Called Quest. They put out their final album in 2016. It was a killer fucking album. And I'm like, yeah, I definitely think those guys need to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So who else are you thinking?
My number two pick out of this list definitely has got to be Foreigner. Here's a band that, along with like Bad Company, Sweet, those type of bands, well, you might throw Sweet kind of into the whole 70s glam and all that, but bands like Foreigner, Journey, these were the blueprints to AOR music, you know, and they've had a legendary career. It's just too bad who's the only one left in the original lineup is what's his name? Mick Jones? I think he's the only one left. And they've just had so many awesome records throughout the year. The impact is there, the influence is there. And like I said, it's a band that spearheaded, you know, one of the bands that helped spearhead an entire genre, you know, like Sabbath did with metal. So Foreigner is definitely one of my choices. And they've some of their songs are what I call lifetime songs.
Yeah.
You know, they're songs that you've heard when you were a kid. Okay. And they just never left your head. You always listened to them. They were always around. And Foreigner has a couple of those, namely like Jukebox Hero. And then into the 80s, the song Urgent is one of my favorites as well. So, yeah, I'm going to give my number two pick. I got to give the nod to Foreigner.
Nice, man. All right, who's your number three? Because I think it's typically five, right?
I guess so.
Oh, no, wait a second. How many does it say we're going to pick? Okay, I'll keep reading. Just tell me your number three.
No, okay. Number three would be Jane's Addiction. Anyone that, you know, knows me or been listening to the show for a while and then going over this list. Okay, yeah, Ozzy, Foreigner, that leaves it to Jane's Addiction. There's no denying, you know, what the impact that they had as well. And I remember, once again, you know, Snowy was ahead of the curve, shall we say, the Nothing Shocking record in the 80s, like Jane's Addiction, you know, when their Habitual de lo Habitual album.
Yes, Ritual de lo Habitual.
Yeah, that was the record that really put him on the map. Yeah. I remember
being caught stealing.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. Which is, it's a great record. It's a fantastic song. Great, you know, everything that Jane's Addiction has done is fantastic. But it was in the late 80s with the Nothing Shocking record, and I saw the Mountain Song video, you know, on Much Music here, and it's like, holy shit, what is this? Okay, this is definitely out there. Very bizarre, but I'm finding myself getting into this. You know, and yeah, I was a Jane's Addiction fan right from pretty much the start. So
I didn't discover them till Ritual, but then I went backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And I love stuff like the Mountain Song and that kind of stuff. And again, like if you look at Jane's Addiction is why we have Lollapalooza.
Palooza, that's right.
You know.
Yeah.
So I mean, they did a lot for. It's funny, like when I look at this list. Jane's Addiction did a lot for music in the 90s. Ozzy's done a ton for music. A Tribe Called Quest, I just like their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, another one who did a lot for music in the 90s would be the Dave Matthews Band.
Okay.
And maybe not the same way as Jane's Addiction, but I think that Dave Matthews blew up in a big way, right?
Mm-hmm.
He almost became like the new Grateful Dead, the way people followed him around.
Oh, okay.
But I really liked the level of musicianship that he had mixed with the songs, if that makes sense.
Okay.
You know,
so I don't really know too much about Dave Matthews, like just the stuff on the radio, and really it came across to me as just, okay, this is just one of those radio rock bands. Like,
there's better stuff that's on the radio. You know, he's almost probably like another Rush, where, you know, you may be inundated with the hits, but there's shit you'll actually like.
Okay.
You know, so here's another one of mine. Who else are you thinking here? Because I just looked it up quickly. It looks like there's going to be 7.
Okay, I don't even know if there would be 7 on this list, but I got to go with Lenny Kravitz here. And
other than Are You Gonna Go My Way and American Woman, like,
you didn't, yeah,
I can't think of anything.
That is how you do a cover song. Okay, first of all, like,
see,
American
I'm
Woman.
Not that big of a fan.
No,
okay, this is another one on paper I should love everything about him, but it's right. just I'm like, it's okay.
Are you familiar with the original, with the okay? Because the Guess Who is,
yeah,
it's a Canadian iconic band.
I didn't realize they were Canadian, but I am insanely familiar with the original.
Okay, yeah, and oh yeah, Cliff Burton, Burton Cummings from the Guess
Animals.
Who and all that. Yeah, well, he's the big music theater is called the Burton Cummings up here.
Oh, now. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the Guess Who are like,
deal. Okay.
Oh yeah. Yeah. At least in Winnipeg, because the Guess Who are from Winnipeg and they're like the Beatles up here. So yeah, I'm not a huge Guess Who fan. You know, I got like a greatest hits CD, but obviously I'm familiar with a lot of their stuff. When Kravitz, okay, did his version of American Woman, okay, it's like, this is how you do a cover song, okay, because this sounds like Lenny Kravitz, but you can also tell that it's a cover. It's paying tribute to the source material in his style. And I love it. Yeah, it's an absolutely fantastic song.
It was all over MTV. It just didn't do anything for me.
What am I going to do with you? Doesn't like Rush. Doesn't like Lenny Kravitz.
I know.
I don't know, man.
I know. And like, this is where I just feel like such a weirdo sometimes. I feel like Lenny Kravitz. Because, I mean, I love everybody in his band. I think he has some of the greatest musicians who've toured with him in the world, you know? And mm-hmm. I mean, he can play, he can sing, but just, it didn't do anything for me.
And that's fair. That's fair.
Like... But it's such a bummer because I wanted to. I think that's why I get so upset with this stuff, is because, like, I should like this. Like, you know who's another band? The Melvins.
Okay.
Dude, that was a band, every time I tried to listen to them, I'm like, well, this fucking sucks. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not on board with the Melvins, really.
Well,
like, I don't know. It just, from what I've heard, just doesn't do much for me.
So hang on. Let me find... okay, so everybody said I was going to love the album Stoner Witch. I think I've got this right. Right? And everyone's like, oh yeah, Melvins, get Stoner Witch. Like, everybody who's talking, it's one of those times where everybody's talking about the Melvins. Oh yeah, you Stoner Witch, get that album. And I'm like, oh man, okay. And I listen to it, and I'm like, this fucking blows. Okay. And everyone's like, no, it's the best thing ever. I'm just like, yeah, no, I can't stand it. And so I run into a guy, and he's wearing a Melvin shirt, and he was a coworker. I'm like, okay, I'm trying to get the Melvins. I don't know where to start. Where do I start? He looks at me. He goes, Stoner Witch. I said, okay. I hate it. He goes, oh. He thinks for a second. It looks at me. He goes, Honky. I'm like, all right. I went home. I listened to Honky. I get the Melvins.
Okay.
Like, it's, you've just got to find that right thing that resonates. Just like moving pictures finally fucking clicked for me today. You know? Like, and I mean, like, it's, I am very happy to say that at 52, I don't quit trying.
That's key, man.
You know?
Yeah. That's key.
Because, like I told you, I'm also on this quest for bebop this year. I'm like, I am tired of not fucking understanding bebop. You know, most people my age would be like, fuck it. I'm just putting on my Pandora station from the 80s and I'm good. I'm like, no, damn it. I want to make sure I get this.
There's a whole world other than just what you grew up on, you know. I'm not just saying this to you. I'm just sips.
Well, you're dead on. And there's so much fun to be had. And I don't understand why people stop having fun ever. Mm-hmm. There's so much fun to be had. There's so much fun music. There's so much fun art. There's so many great movies. There's so much fun to be had. Keep going. And I mean, I'll be the first to tell you, like when I'm in a mood, I put on AC/DC's If You Want Blood, You've Got It. That's how we kick the day.
Yeah, that's Mrs. Snowy's favorite AC/DC song, by the way.
It's a fucking killer tune, dude. Like, yeah. That is, if somebody is going to start a fight, like that song, Twisted Sisters, We're Not Going to Take It.
Mm-hmm.
Almost any Ramone song, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's just like the whole way it's on, you know. But I really want to get into Lenny Kravitz. I really do. I need to give that a shot again this year. All right. So looking at this list, who do you think the seven that would go in for sure? Just read them off.
Who's definitely going in?
Right. Who do you think?
Okay. I think. See, I. Foreigner for sure. Is going to be
you
one
think
of
there
those
a will?
Bands. Yes, they will. Okay. Yeah. Okay. We did our shoulds. Okay. But here's some wills. Foreigner will. Peter Frampton will. David Matthews Band will. Oh, I'm sorry to the rock gods, but Mariah Carey will.
You're right.
Cool and the Gang will. And Sinead O'Connor will because she died.
Okay.
You know. Yeah.
All right, you need one more.
Oh, one more. Then probably Cher.
Okay. So I'm with you. Like so, but I think Cher, Mary J. Blige. I think Peter Frampton.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm gonna say Ozzy still. I really think that there are still enough Aussie fans. I mean, thanks to Post Malone, right? Without Post Malone, Aussie wouldn't have a career.
It would be nothing. Yeah, just like no one knows who Travis Kelce is until
he started dating Taylor Swift. Thank goodness for her. Nobody
knew.
Or vice versa. Nobody knew who Taylor Swift was until she started dating Travis Kelce. We can troll anybody that way.
I can say, sorry to interrupt. I did learn a Taylor Swift song.
Oh, which one?
This, because when my brood and I, when we're out and about Saturday, as we're taking our daughter home, I put on music trivia where they give 5 seconds of a song.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And you have to guess the name of the song in 5 seconds or whatever. Okay. Well, sure enough, it's like it was one of the songs was Shake It Off.
Oh, good song,
Well, that's debatable.
But anyway, I enjoy it.
I It's like, okay, I know this one. Okay, I didn't know that it was Taylor Swift, but I knew this song. Okay. So it's like, okay, finally, I can say I know a Taylor Swift song.
My personal favorite by her is Blank Space. You should listen to it. Listen to the lyrics, because I guarantee it's going to resonate with you.
Okay. I shall do that.
Yeah, it's a good one. All right. So back to my list. Ozzy. Yes.
Sorry.
I really believe Ozzy's going to make it.
Right.
I'm going to call A Tribe Called Quest. And then I think Sade.
Well, I mean, any one of these bands, okay, I think could make it in. I honestly don't think Ozzy's going to this year. I think
he will.
There is that. Okay, maybe because I've just seen it. I've seen the heavy metal prejudice so much throughout my life that, yeah, you know.
But so here's the other thing, though. What's the one thing that is not hidden remotely about Sharon Osbourne?
That's not hidden.
Yeah. Like what's the one thing that most people would try to hide, but she doesn't hide, and everybody knows it, but nobody will really say anything because they're all scared?
Yeah, well, because she's so powerful, and she's definitely got that ego, and she'll say whatever she wants without fear of
Sharon will start her own Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and dwarf this one. She's that kind of person. She'll be like, fuck you, you're not putting Ozzy in there? Well, let me show you who the real king of rock and roll is. You know?
I'm all for Ozzy, like you just said, he's the king of rock and roll. Yeah, Elvis who?
What? I really think Ozzy's going in this year. I really believe it because I think people are scared of Sharon for starters. But think that, I mean, of all these bands, right? Some of them haven't put out music in years. Some of them might still tour, but they haven't put out new music in years. Ozzy still releases albums.
Right.
Those albums are still critically acclaimed and get people talking.
Mm-hmm.
You are Ozzy's guitar player, you're automatically considered a guitar god.
Oh, yeah.
I think that Ozzy holds enough clout that he's going in this year.
I hope so. I really do. Like I said, he was numero uno on this list for me, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just jaded.
Hey, we'll see, man. We'll see. You know, like I really, know. This is one of those ones where I don't want to be wrong at all. Cause I just, I think he needs to go because I don't want him to go posthumously. I want him to go now.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, no, that would definitely suck. So either way, it's going to be interesting. And in the metal world, if Ozzy doesn't make it, our world is gonna there's gonna be a shitstorm about it. There's gonna be a lot of
people that don't go in, you know, like we're used to it.
Yeah, no, for sure. You got anything else?
That's it, man.
That's it. Okay, well, let's go out with the old and bring in the new with this week's Indie Spotlight.
We're always on the lookout for fresh new talent. Check out this Indie Spotlight.
Hey, as well, our regular listeners will have noticed, we haven't had an Indie Spotlight the last few episodes. Now we've kind of gone into extra innings. So we're going to make it up to everyone by introducing everyone to a kick-ass new band called Pessimistic. with a Y in the Mystic as opposed to an I, just to get that street cred. You know, we gotta get edgy, you know, which, hey, you do you, great stuff, fantastic band. How about the title track from their latest release? This is Pessimistic with a Y, with Burnt Offering.
The Shining Wizards is the greatest wrestling podcast of all time. Don't believe me? Tune in and check us out. We laugh, we cry, we interview some of the greatest people in professional wrestling, and we have some of the greatest segments of all time, including everyone's favorite wrestling game show, Can You Beat That? We're live 6:50 p.m. East on Monday night on all social media platforms, and we're with you wherever you go on every single streaming and podcasting platform as well. Check us out. Go over to ShiningWizards.com and join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
Facebook.com/pessimistic, once again, with a Y, official, and pessimisticofficial.bandcamp.com. And Burnt Offering, still a fantastic film after all of these years. Just a simple haunted house movie, but it gave me the chills. That didn't scare me. Even as a kid, horror never scared me and all that, but it's definitely very atmospheric and kind of on the chilling side, shall we say. So you're going to want to check that out as well. Well, my friend, another kick-ass episode in the books. Maybe it's time to bring this crazy train into the station now. How can people get a hold of us?
Well, dear snowman, radioactivemetal.org. That's all the episodes, past, present, and future. They're all there. It's a party, rock and roll. You can find us anywhere you can find a podcast. That's the Apple Podcast app, Stitcher, Spreaker. Something else I can't think of.
Everywhere.
Yeah, we're pretty much everywhere. At RadMetal666 on Instagram, Facebook.com/RadMetal. Drop us a line, RadMetal666@gmail.com. And then we're also on Spotify, and that's thanks to the fine folks of the Shining Wizards Network, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. And just a whole host of fun podcasts out there. Mm-hmm. Really, it's a great bunch of people. We just love them. So, yeah. Check them out, and I think that's it. I feel like I got through that way too easy tonight.
Hey, it's one of those episodes, and it happens a lot on the show. Once you and I, we sit down, we start yapping, the time flies, and we always have a great time. To get us on out of here, Swedish Hardcore Bashers, Night Fever, have a new record called Dead End. Let's go with the title track. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been and the nominees are, episode of Radioactive Metal. I'm Snowy White.
And this is Aaron.
Signing off.